Well, I also want to give them the grade of A. You got an A. Don't get too excited. I didn't say A plus. This may be an A minus, but nevertheless an A. Well, this afternoon, we come to a very important message. Every message is important. In fact, each one of these 12 messages may be considered a crystal, a real, real heavy-duty crystal in itself. And needless to say, our brother Lee, over a period of 4 or 5 years, expended himself, his energy, his time, even I would say, at the cost of his health, to labor in these matters. And now we are left with this great, I even would say, grand inheritance of the deepest and highest things in the Word of God. 10 of these items, as Brother Ed said in the first meeting, were actually listed by Brother Lee himself, with the exception of that message on shepherding according to God and the very last message on becoming the new Jerusalem. All the other points were cited by him. And that's meaningful because he was the speaker. He was the one delivering these things to us. And for him to come up with these points, they must be important to them. So I think we should not take any of these items in a light way. I would say that all these 12 points are absolutely needed for the building up of the body of Christ today. All these 12 points, 12 heavy matters, are needed for the adornment of Christ's bride or the preparation of the Lord's wife. And all these 12 matters are absolutely indispensable and essential for the bringing about of that holy city, the New Jerusalem. I dare say that these three things that we're all very burdened for in the Lord's recovery cannot be realized without its reality being among us, without our entrance into these things. And by entrance, I obviously do not mean mere comprehension, which is important, but I am talking about entrance into the experience of these things. This is a very unique training, brothers and sisters. I was this afternoon reminded by the Lord of this word in Matthew 13, where he spoke on the mysteries of the kingdom. And there, between his speaking of the first parable, which we all know concerning the seed, and we're going to get into some of that today in this message, and the Lord's expounding and explanation of that very parable, the Lord actually spent quite a few verses concerning these mysteries that he was speaking. and how important it is for us to hear them, see them, and understand them with our heart. And he talks about the heart of the people, including people that were there listening to the Lord's very words concerning the kingdom, that their heart were fat, became fat, their ears heavy, and their eyes closed, and lest they perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and they turn around, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Now, this is the main point. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to perceive the things that you see and have not perceived them, and to hear the things that you hear and have not heard them. Then immediately he proceeded to explain the parable of the sower who sowed. I don't know how you feel, brothers and sisters. I feel that these words, these outlines, these points that are in our hands, that we are listening to and studying, these must be the very things that many prophets and righteous men have desired to perceive. But they never had the opportunity to do so. They never heard them. They never saw them. They were not blessed like we are today. Standing here this afternoon, I'd like to tell you, I'm a blessed man. And I feel all of you are blessed saints. Even the fact that we can maybe not fully understand everything, but the fact that we can hear these things, isn't that a blessing? Recently, there's some kind of a survey. You don't have to trust these surveys, but I just heard about it, that they check with the various states in the Union of the United States to ask the people, what is your top question, if you have one? So, for what it's worth. All kinds of, you know, crazy questions, but the top among them are these questions. What am I? What's the meaning of my life? Who is God? Why is there evil in the world? Are we okay? These are what you and I would call existential questions. And I like to say this afternoon, all these 12 messages answer all those questions. Amen. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. And not in a superficial way, easy way, flippant way, as people would try to answer those deep philosophical questions. They answered them. It's all here. But it took 500 years of the recovery of the word and the truth in the recovery for God's people to be brought to this high point, to understand or to answer these questions in the most deep, in the deepest manner, in the most intrinsic manner, and obviously in a biblical manner, And this kind of answer or explanation must come from only one source, and that is God Himself. Brothers and sisters, I hope you would all be awed by these things. We will all be, I don't know what, mesmerized by these things. We would all be taken by these things and not, never, for the rest of our lives, treat any of these 12 matters in a light way. The people who got an A from me, these ones here, some of us older ones would say, oh, they are just kind of young, their mind is absorbent, they just memorize these things and they just kind of regurgitate robotically, mechanically. I give you that. Let's say they are doing that, all right? I don't think so, but let's say they are doing that. Let me tell you, you are blessed to be able to do that. Even if they don't fully understand, I believe they don't fully understand what they're talking about. Even it will take them years and decades to enter into these things. Isn't this a great matter that we've got some young people in a place that can speak these things with a measure of understanding? They're not telling us to go to heaven. They're not just telling us Jesus is our Savior. Although all those, anyway, they're telling us God became man, that man may become God. Right? And to the older brothers and sisters, I'd like to say a word of encouragement to you, because like me, you probably can catch up with these guys to be able to recite and memorize all these wonderful things. I'd like to tell you, it's okay. You just do your best, all right? You just do your very best. We're moving along message by message, crystal by crystal. Do your best and catch up. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. All right, now we come to this really central matter of God's eternal economy. And that is God's intention and God's very desire to build Himself in Christ into our being. Clearly, this word "build" is the most important word, because this is the very work of God based on His economy. So elsewhere we use the word dispense, am I right? To dispense Himself. We use the word work Himself into man. Or even in this outline, constitute Himself into man. But I like to tell you that this word build is inclusive. In fact, I would like to tell you that this building as a process, covers the entire organic salvation of God, starting from regeneration, and then on to sanctification, and then on to renewal. We'll have a whole message on that. And then on to transformation and confirmation, and ultimately on to glorification. I tell you, that's God's building work as a process. It takes all these steps of His full salvation that He had ordained for you and I to completely build Himself into our entire being. So it's a lifelong matter. This building work started when we were saved, or we were born again. It commenced then, and since then it has been going on. And even this afternoon, it is still going on. God is building Christ right now into our being. That's all he cared to do. That's all the work that he is burdened to do. So that eventually we would be full of Christ, we would be the fullness of Christ, we would be those who are saturated and permeated with Christ. We would be those who reflect Christ and express Christ. In fact, we will become Christ in a proper sense. So we sing this song, 538 here, Christ revealed in me, Christ wrought in me, Christ living in me, Christ being formed in me, Christ making his home in me, Christ being my hope of glory. Ultimately, it is God's intent and pleasure that his Christ be all to me, that we would become the very corporate Christ, that we would become the very corporate Son of God, the sonship. And this Christ will then fill all and in all. This is actually the church. The church is just Christ. The church is just Christ taking over, filling, saturating, becoming a group of people. And they becoming what he is. Now, we're going to depend on a passage in 2 Samuel chapter 7, 12 through 14a to make this matter a little bit more clear to us. Brother Lee, in the life study of 2 Samuel back in the winter of 1993, I think I'm correct, gave actually 7 messages. I don't know what he intended to do in the beginning, but it became 7 messages. He couldn't stop. It's like something is breaking open. Spending all that time just on this prophecy, what he called eventually a prophecy through typology, showing us how God's intention is to build this Christ into our constitution, our whole being, so that we may be reconstituted with him. Now, I like to just, we cannot cover all the points here, so many of these I will just read and trust in our study and so on. I will just underscore some matters that stood out to me, but I think the good place to start is for me to select short parts from the footnotes of to some words or phrase in 2 Samuel 7, 12 to 14. Let me read first. When your days, this is God Jehovah speaking to David, when your days are fulfilled and you sleep with your fathers, I will raise up your seed after you. Of course, this is referring literally to Solomon, his son, which will come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. It is he who will build a house, Solomon, for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Then he said, I will be his father, and he will be my son. Surely, saints, you can see here already the beginning of an unveiling of something more intrinsic, something deeper in the heart of God. This seed is actually not Solomon in fulfillment of this prophecy. David's seed is actually Christ as God's firstborn son, who has actually both divinity and humanity. He's just typified by Solomon. The Son of God became David's seed by being constituted or built into David's family. That means built into David's very being. Here, God is actually telling David that instead of him, that is David, building something, a house with cedar wood or something like that for God, David actually need God to build his son into him. You follow me? God didn't want David to build him a house in that kind of a way. And Brother Lee kept saying this, to hammer this point home, God was not even satisfied with David having such a heart. That was a good heart. But God is not satisfied merely that David would be a man according to God's heart to build a house for God. God's desire was to work himself in Christ, the Son of God, into David's humanity to be his life, nature, and constitution. In this way, Christ, the Son of God, would become everything to David, including his house and his seed. I'm actually reading already from the footnote 1 on the word seed. 2 Samuel 7 is the unveiling of a prophecy through typology, showing us that there is no need for us to build something for God. We cannot build God's house, the church. I know we all stir to build up the church. Actually, we cannot build God's house, the church, by using ourselves as the material, surely not using our natural ways. The church as the house of God, which is the mutual abode of God and his redeemed, is built, constituted, with Christ as the unique element. Anything that is not Christ has no part in the church. Thus, we need God to build Christ into our intrinsic constitution so that our entire being will be reconstituted with Christ. Then we are the right material for God's building. Don't bring your natural smarts, your natural ways, your natural whatever, wisdom. Those things have no share in this work of God. The building of the church is by Christ. Listen to this. The building of the church is by Christ making his home in our hearts. Have you ever associated chapter 3 of Ephesians on Paul's prayer about the Father strengthening us into the inner man according to the riches of his glory, with power by his Spirit, so that Christ would make his home in our hearts? That making his home in our hearts is the building of the church. I hope you get this. You remember this. That is by building himself into us, making our heart, our intrinsic constitution his home. If Christ does not make home in your hearts and mine, Christ will never get a habitation collectively and corporately in the church. So this is a serious matter, whether we let Christ make home in our hearts or not. This is not optional. If we mean business, we're here for the church to be built. The way is to let Christ make home in our hearts. The very Christ who is constituted or built into us is God's house and our house. We shall see eventually that house is mutual. It is both for him to live in and for us to live in. And he also will become our seed as our heritage and our treasure. I continue to read footnote 1 on it is he who will build the house for me. Christ is the one who actually builds the church as God's house, God's temple. I will build my church. In reality, Christ is also the element in which and with which the church is built. He is not only the builder, he is the built one. He's not just the building God, he is actually the builded God. Hence, Christ is the house, his body, and Christ is also the seed, the builder. As the seed, Christ is the one who builds. As the house, he is the one who got built, but now not only in himself, but built in you and me. Built into you and me. Now we are included in this. As the many sons of God, Christ builds the church by building himself into us, that is, by entering into our spirit and spreading himself from our spirit into our mind, emotion, and will to occupy our entire soul. This building, a mingling of God's divinity with our redeemed, resurrected, and uplifted humanity, becomes God's habitation and our habitation, a mutual abode. So here I would like to add something. This word building, you can use the word mingling. When you say God is building himself into us, God is mingling himself with us. In fact, I would say this word uniting, this word mingling, even this word incorporating, all those are included in this thought of building. So that is all God is doing. Mingling, uniting God with man and mingling God's nature with ours, and eventually incorporating us one into another. And that will become a mutual abode, the same abode, but the abode for he and for us. In the New Jerusalem, as the abode of God, that city is the tabernacle. As our abode, it is the temple. Eventually, the building will consummate in the New Jerusalem for eternity, in which God's redeemed are the tabernacle for God to dwell in, and God himself is the temple for his redeemed to dwell in. Now, finally, the last paragraph, in another footnote, footnote 1 in 14, verse 14, he will be my son. In and through resurrection, Christ, the firstborn son of God, became the life-giving spirit. As such a spirit, he enters into God's chosen people to dispense, to build himself as life into their being, to be their inner constitution. In this way, he makes them God-men, the many sons of God. This mass reproduction of himself as the firstborn son of God, this is the mass reproduction of himself. Okay. Thus, they, the human seeds, become the sons of God with divinity through the metabolic process of transformation. This metabolic process is the building up of the church as the body of Christ and the house of God by building the building of God into man and man into God. That is by the constituting of the divine element into the human element and the human element into the divine element. This building will consummate in the New Jerusalem as the great corporate God-man, the aggregate, the totality of all the sons of God. Amen. What do you say about that? Amen. I mean, I just feel, brothers and sisters, we must not have this thought, oh, this is too high. This is impossible for us to grasp. Forget about it. Please don't say that. Don't say this. This is what God is doing. We should know these things. We should be impressed by these things so that we can enter into these things. Every day, as God is saving us organically, he's building some more of himself into our being. He's building up his church. Now, I'm going to get into this outline now. Number one, 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 14a is the unveiling of a prophecy through typology, showing us that we need God to build up Christ into our intrinsic constitution. Do you pay attention? God to build up Christ into these prepositions. Pay attention to them. Up and into our intrinsic constitution so that our entire being will be reconstituted with Christ. That should be our only prayer almost. Lord, constitute yourself in me. And everything that he does through the all things in Romans 8 is for that constitution, nothing else. It's not just to make you overcoming. It's not just to make you a better person or more spiritual, or as Brother Ron last night said, to make you more mystic. No. God have only one thing in his mind, and that is to reconstitute you and me with Christ, to make us part of his building, the church, his body, that will consummate in the New Jerusalem. So we need, you know, every day, you know what we need to do, just to open our being, especially our heart, for him to do this building work. A, the organic building up of the church as the body of Christ through the process of spiritual metabolism is actually that Jehovah prophesied to David in the way of typology in 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 14a. It is only through this process that human beings can be transformed into the sons of God, and that something human, the human seed, can become something divine, the sons of God. How on earth will you and I, these human beings, can become God's species? How can you and I, these sons of men, become designated as sons of God? How can we, who have nothing to do with Christ, nothing to do with Israel, nothing to do with the church, nothing to do with any of those things, become part of it? It is through this organic salvation that Christ will work, God will work himself in Christ into our being. When we say, Lord, transform me, it's not just, Lord, transform me and make me a better brother. It's, Lord, transform me to make, build yourself into me and to make me part of your building. In order for God's building to take place, we need to receive, digest, and assimilate the organic pneumatic Christ, who is the life-giving spirit, as our spiritual food, drink, and breath. We said already, there's nothing in us that is good for God's building. Christ is the unique material. The only way for us to become part of this building is to receive, digest, assimilate this pneumatic Christ and praise him. He is today food, drink, and breath to us. When we enjoy the now Christ by eating, drinking, and breathing him, a metabolic process takes place within us, and Christ is constituted into our being. You know, metabolism, brother, I'm no doctor. What do I know? But the metabolic process is simply converting the food and the drink that we take in into energy. And that energy is then used, right? After the food is broken down in us, and they become energy, and these energy they provide the building blocks for new cells, for the repair of old cells, and things like this. And this, in simple words, is for our body survival, metabolism. And here, brotherly stress, there is a metabolic process. As we eat Christ, drink Christ, breathe in Christ, there's something very complex, very organic that takes place. There is a quote-unquote breaking down. There's this assimilation through digestion, so that there is actually a reception of all these food that is Christ, or drink that is Christ, or air that is Christ that we have taken in. Through this metabolic process, he is then constituted into our being at a cellular level. Am I right? At the finest, most thorough level, so that every part of us would have a new constitution, and that is Christ, replacing the old constitution, what we were in our natural man and from our natural birth. 2, God's economy is to work himself into us that we may experience a metabolic process of spiritual digestion and assimilation that produces a gradual an intrinsic change in life. I very much echo Ron's burden last night when he talked about the concern about our personal relationship with the Lord. There are times for us to enjoy the corporately. It is high, it is wonderful, right? But I tell you, these private moments, these times in the inner chamber, these times in the holiest of all, that we are alone with the Lord, we are alone with God, where he speaks, when he shines, when we pray to him, when we deal with him, actually by his Spirit and through his word, Rhema word, there is a process that is going on called digestion, called assimilation. in those dealings that we have with him in a deeper way. And that is what gradually produces an intrinsic change in life. And that is what will result in transformation, sanctification, renewal, all these things, this metabolic process. I hope after this week, all our personal life with the Lord would be deepened and strengthened. All of us. Three, the metabolic process is transformation, and transformation is the building. Do you see this? Sanctification is building. Renewal is building. Transformation is building. When there's a transformation taking place within us through the renewing of our mind, that's the building work. There's a sign that the building work is taking place. And this brother or this sister in whom this transformative process is taking place, has Christ now been built into him or her to make him or her the good material for God's building? Two, the believers who have been regenerated in Christ with God's life are God's cultivated land, a farm in God's new creation to grow Christ, that precious materials may be produced for God's building. I'm going to just read this whole Roman numeral first and say a few words. So now we are talking about this matter of God working in himself in Christ into us through this picture of growth, of Christ growing in our being. A, according to the Bible, growth equals building. You see, growing is building. Growing is building. This takes place by the growth of the divine seed of life within us. B, Ephesians 3:17 reveals that the triune God has come into us to do a building work with himself as the element, God as the element, and also something from us as the material. I ask you to pay attention to that. Not only Christ as the element, but something on our side as material for this building work. See, this is illustrated by the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. One, the Lord sow himself as the seed of life into men's hearts, the soil, that he might grow and live in him and be expressed from within them. Two, the seed is sown into the soil to grow with the nutrients of the soil. As a result, the produce is a composition. Listen. Composition of elements, a mingling of elements from both the seed and the soil. Three, we have within us certain nutrients created by God as a preparation for his coming into us to grow in us. God has created the human spirit with the human nutrients along with the human heart as the soil for the divine seed. Our spirit, our heart, provides human nutrients in this soil, this human soil, for the divine seed to be developed. For the rate at which we grow in life depends not only on the divine seed, but on how many nutrients we afford the seed. Can you believe, brothers and sisters, we afford this seed of life certain nutrients? Some people may call us heretic just by saying that. The more nutrients we supply, the faster the seed will grow and the more it will flourish. A, if we remain in our soul, in our natural man, there will not be any nutrients for the growth of the divine seed. But if we are strengthened into our inner man, and if we pay attention to our spirit and exercise our spirit, the nutrients will be supplied, and Christ will make his home in our hearts. B, if we are going to have the Lord as the seed of life grow within us to be our full enjoyment, we have to open to the Lord absolutely and cooperate with him to deal thoroughly with our heart. Five, on the one hand, God strengthens us with himself as the element. On the other hand, we afford the nutrients. We afford the nutrients. Through these two, the element from God's direction in Christ and from our direction, the nutrients. Through these two, God in Christ carries out his intrinsic building, the building of his home in our entire being. Now, okay, look at me, okay? So, all right, thank you. I'm no botanist or horticulture expert or whatever. But I look into this a little bit, just about the relationship between the seed and the soil. And I got somewhat enlightened. And I hope I'm not here over-extrapolating things unnecessarily. But there's something here why Brother Lee underscores this point of not just from one direction, but from two. The seed is the seed of life, and that is Christ himself, sown through his word, right? The incorruptible seed in 1 Peter 1, and the seed of God in 1 John 3. I think we all know this. And the seed, obviously, in Matthew 13, that is sown. In the word, but the word holds a kernel, something inside, and that is the divine life itself, and that is Christ. Am I right? I think we all know this. And in this inside of the seed, I tell you everything that is needed for this seed to reproduce itself. The life, the nature, the shape, the form. Let's say this is a peach seed. All of the things that is needed to grow a peach tree and peaches are all there. All the genetic material are all there. You follow me? It's all there. There's nothing to do with the soil. It's all in the seed. God's genes are all in this seed. But it needs to be sown into the soil. Why? The soil is the human soil. In fact, it's the human heart. In this heart, that is actually the inner man, with the spirit as the hidden man of the heart, which is the person of this inner man, you got something human here. A human spirit and a human heart. Now, where is this seed sown? This seed was sown into our spirit, this pneumatic Christ. You following me? Into our spirit, to mingle with our spirit. So this Christ is not a simple Christ. This is the process and consummated spirit that has been sown into us. All the divine things, all the even humanity is in. This is the spirit of Christ, the spirit of Jesus Christ. All the things, all the unsearchable riches of Christ are in this seed. And this seed is dropped into our spirit. So today, all this is in our spirit. Our spirit is not that plain, that simple. Our spirit is full of, has the seed in it. And all these unsearchable riches of Christ is there. And you know what? This spirit of ours is in the soil, the human heart. And the seed is sown there, right, into the human spirit. And you know, for a seed to break down, to germinate, right, and to grow as a plant, it needs the soil. Soil not only to stabilize it and anchor it, you know what I mean, all of that, but the soil to supply nutrients, to supply oxygen, to supply especially moisture and water. These things that the soil would supply will cause these chemical or whatever reaction to take place in the seed, for the seed to germinate, to send roots down, and to sprout upwards, and eventually grow and produce fruit. The soil, brothers and sisters, supplies certain material. It is not the what? Fallen heart, our natural heart. It is that heart that has what? That has this spirit in it with these riches of Christ. So what do we need to do, dear saints? We need to enjoy this Christ in our spirit. Amen? Amen. Be filled in this spirit. We also need to let these riches to spill over, as it were, to spread into our heart, so that there would be something that is resurrected, something that is enriched, that is something uplifted in the human heart, in the human soil. That can what? Become a kind of material to supply for this growth. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to deal with our heart, not only to clear away the stones, the rocks and the thorns and all those things, but to have a heart that is what? That has Christ in it. And eventually, all these things of Christ will supply the seed that is Christ for the seed to grow. I know these things sound like, whoa, what are you getting to? Well, right or not, I do not know, but I feel there's some real light here, that this building work is not just on God's side alone. It requires our cooperation with Him. Our cooperation. He is the primary element, but we need to supply some material for that building. Very practical to me. Takes these two for God to carry out this intrinsic building. I'll read the next Roman numeral. The apostles' prayer in Ephesians 3 reveals that for the fulfillment of God's eternal economy, we need the Father, according to the riches of His glory, to strengthen us with power through His Spirit into the inner man, that Christ may build Himself into our hearts, occupying our entire being, that we might be filled unto all the fullness of God. I think this Roman numeral we are more familiar with, based on Ephesians 3. To say that we need to be strengthened with power into the inner man indicates that we are not in the inner man, that we live mostly in the outer man. B, Christ has the desire to occupy every room of our heart. The phrase, make His home, is only one word in the Greek, katoikeo, which basically means to settle down in a dwelling, to make a dwelling place. And the prefix of this word kata means down, okay? Just like the root, the first thing to come out of a seed is the root, searching for moisture, right? This is a settling down, Christ making His home down in our hearts, deep down. Two, as Christ makes His home deep down in our hearts, we are being rooted in love for God's farm and grounded in love for God's building. Saints, let us afford the Lord some deep down settlement. Don't tell the Lord to stay out at the porch. Don't tell the Lord just to be in the what? In the entry to your house. Deep down, let him come deep into all parts of our heart. As Christ makes his home in our hearts, we become strong to apprehend with all the saints this immeasurable Christ, whose dimensions are the dimensions of the universe. A, our experience of Christ in the church must be three-dimensional, like a cube, the breadth, length, height, and depth, and must not be one-dimensional like a line. B, both in the tabernacle and the temple, the Holy of Holies was a cube. C, eventually, the New Jerusalem, God's building, will be an eternal cube. The Holy of Holies, 12,000 stadia in three dimensions. This should tell us our experience of this homemaking Christ today in all its dimensions has everything to do with the coming into being of that New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is indeed being built right now. Amen. Right now. Right now, the New Jerusalem is being built. Amen. If our hearts are open, if he is making home in our mind, emotion, and will, and conscience, this moment and day by day, New Jerusalem is being built in all four dimensions. For Christ making his home in our hearts causes us to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, that we may be filled unto all the fullness of the triune God for the corporate expression, his glorification. That ultimate glorification in that holy city. Four, if we realize that God's desire to work himself into his chosen people, then the goal of our work will be to minister the building and build it God into others so that the triune God may build himself into their being. I like to read this not just to all the saints, it is for all of us. I like to read this to myself and for my co-workers this afternoon. A, the crucial matter in our work in the Lord's recovery is to minister the building and build it God. B, we should reconsider the work we are doing for the Lord and ask how much of Christ as the embodiment of the triune God has been wrought. You know, wrought, an old English word from the 13th century. It's just the past tense of, or the past participle of the word work. God working, God wrotting. Well, you may temporarily say that, into those whom we have brought to the Lord. How much of Christ have been wrought, worked into those we saved? See, we need to practice one thing, to minister the process and consummated triune God into others so that he may build himself into their inner man. We need to pray that the Lord will teach us to work in this way. I really also am a learner to learn how to work in this way in the Lord's recovery. D, when we build the church with the process and consummated triune God, it is not actually we who are building. Rather, God is building through us, using us as a means to dispense and transmit himself into others. Our work, co-workers, elders, in the Lord's work and in the Lord's church, is simply to dispense and transmit this building and builded God, who is Christ, into the believers. Not just to solve problems. E, as we work for God today, we should participate in God's building. The constitution of the divine element into the human element and of the human element into the divine element. As the divine element is constituted into our humanity, we become God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. And as the human element is constituted into God, God becomes man. This is the building revealed in the New Testament. Actually, Athanasius' word, right? God was made man, that man is made God. That is God's building. That is God's building work in this light. In the Lord's recovery, our work must be part of this mutual constitution. Divinity being constituted in the humanity and vice versa. There's a mutual constitution going on. This is the uniting, mingling, and incorporating of God with man and divinity with humanity. This is happening every day in our daily lives, brothers and sisters. If our work is not related to this mutual constitution, then in the eyes of God, our work is like wood, grass, and stubble. Two, if our work is part of this mutual constitution, God will regard our work as gold, silver, and precious stones, which will consummate in the New Jerusalem. It is quite possible, co-workers, myself included, that with all the things that we have done, they may be regarded one day by God as wood, grass, and stubble. Brother Lee has this once upon a time in his study about the fire that will test these things. Let everyone take heed how he builds, with what material he builds with. He took that seriously. One will be burned. The other will endure as part of the New Jerusalem. If our work is part of this mutual constitution, God will regard our work as gold, silver, and precious stones, which will consummate in the New Jerusalem. As we endeavor to carry out the God-ordained way in the four steps of begetting, nourishing, perfecting, and building, our work must be based upon the process and consummated triune God, who is building himself into his chosen people and building them into him. If we minister the building and build it, God to others for their growth in the divine life, we are building up the body of Christ, which will consummate the New Jerusalem. Brothers, let us be sobered by these words. Let us measure our work with this as the ultimate standard. Are we really building up the New Jerusalem today? Or are really just building something according to our preference or interest? 5, eventually the triune God and redeemed humanity will be mingled, blended, and built up as one entity, the New Jerusalem. A, the New Jerusalem is built by God's constituting of himself into man to make man the same as God in life, in nature, and in constitution, so that God and man may become a corporate entity. B, the New Jerusalem is a composition. This word work means what implies composing something, working out something, producing something. The New Jerusalem is a composition. It's something that is produced over time. A composition of divinity and humanity blended and mingled together as one entity. All the components have the same life, nature, and constitution, and thus are a corporate person. There, Christ and us will be eternally the same and one. Just a corporate Christ filling all and in all, and through which God will be forever glorified and expressed. 1, God in man and man in God, mutual dwelling thus possessed. God the content is to man, and the man doth God express. the song we didn't sing that is put up there on the board, 972. To God and man and God are built up together and blended and mingled together. This is the consummation of God's building. C, the New Jerusalem is a constitution of God and man and God, who are constituted into one, the same, in life and in nature. Of course, we will never share God's Godhead, but in life, nature, and constitution, just one and the same, God and man. One, this is divinity expressed in humanity and humanity glorified in divinity with the divine glory shining forth radiantly in humanity. The two, divinity and humanity, become a mutual dwelling place. The one who is God yet man dwells in the one who is man yet God. The one who is man yet God dwells in the one who is God yet man. If you're confused, just take some time and get into this. D, the mutual abode produced by the constitution of the divine element into the human element and of the human element into the divine element is the what? Center and reality of the universe. I like to tell those states who ask the question, what is the meaning of life? What is it all about? I like to direct them to this. This mutual abode is the center and reality of the entire universe. Let's read E together, a marvelous inscription on Brother Lee's tomb. Let's read together. The process and consummated triune God, according to the good pleasure of his desire and for the highest intention in his economy, is building himself into his chosen people and his chosen people into himself, that he may have a constitution in Christ as a mingling of divinity and humanity, to be his organism and the body of Christ, as his eternal expression and the mutual abode for the redeeming God and the redeemed man. The ultimate consummation of this miraculous structure of treasure will be New Jerusalem for eternity. Let us give ourselves to the Lord for this. Please have some prayer right now with your neighbor.